just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open early this Saturday morning. And if you have a legal question, all you have to do is to call the number I'm about to give you. It's a toll-free number. Anywhere you're listening, you can call. Your question can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, living wills. Can be just about any area of law. And if you have a question, I'd like to help you, give you a little peace of mind, get you pointed in the right direction, here's the number. It's 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And again, why worry about something? You've been, you're facing a problem. You're facing an unknown answer. You're facing relationship difficulties with someone that's maybe being unreasonable in your mind. Give us a call. I'd love to help you. It doesn't really have to even be a legal problem per se, just a problem. And we can talk about it a little bit. You have somebody to talk to, air out. Your air dialogue will probably help other people. That's the whole purpose of the show, too, helping you and helping other people learn from experiences and questions and so forth. Again, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Had a great speaking opportunity this past week. I was in Indian Rocks Baptist Church on Wednesday night and had a nice group. The presentation went overtime. They had so many questions. Just amazing how many questions people can have in an audience about estate planning. And just fairly basic things about not understanding the difference between wills and trust and why wills have to go through probate and who the trustee should be and special circumstances and special language you can put in trust. So we went overtime. In fact, they had so many questions I had to kind of pause the questions for a few minutes to get in some points I wanted to talk about. I'll tell you all that to tell you that if you need a speaker for your group, I'm available and love to go out. There's no charge or anything. A lot of times I might talk 20, 30 minutes and then have time for question and answers from your group. And the size of your group really doesn't matter to me. I mean, I've done groups of 15 or 20, and I've spoken at churches in the sermon for Sunday morning in groups of 5,000. The size of the group doesn't matter. The 20 to 40 size group is great to me, and you get take questions and field questions, and you're in a fairly small room of 20 to 40 people, and that's a great size group. I had a Kiwanis Club meeting that was scheduled this past week that got changed to probably January, and that was only going to be 8 people. So if you have a Kiwanis, a Rotary, a Service Club, Retirement Club, New York, Michigan, Florida Club, whatever it is. If you need a speaker, a men's group, women's group, volunteer groups, I'm glad to come speak to your group. So the toll-free office number to arrange that is 1-800-226-3529. All right, let's go to Paula in Jacksonville. Hey, Paula.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. And you?
I'm fine.
What can I do for you this morning?
About the insurance.
Insurance, okay. What's the question?
How much would that insurance cost a month?
What type of insurance are we talking about? I'm not sure. Well, you're my first caller. I haven't really addressed an insurance question yet. So what? I'm not sure what you're talking about, Paula.
Life insurance.
How much does life insurance cost?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on what type of policy it is and what your age is and how much insurance you want to buy. Do you want me to get someone to contact you that can discuss it with you with a little bit more information?
Yes.
Do you have access to email?
No, I don't.
All right. My toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. 226-3529.
Hold on just a minute.
All right. Paula, just hang up, and we'll give that to you during the course of the show. Just keep listening to the show, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. So you're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm not sure how that question came in, but how much does life insurance cost is depending upon all kind of factors. The person that's going to sell it to her would have to ask her to determine that. All right, so if you have a question, though, speaking of Jacksonville, our first caller from Jacksonville, I had a wonderful speaking engagement 2 weeks there. It was about 200 women in a group of, it was a retired newcomer alumni group. And that was at Marsh Landing Country Club, very nice country club. They had a big room all set up, great group of people, really enjoyed that. And as you can see, I move around a little bit from office to office. We have 20 office locations. I go frequently to Polk County every week, to Hillsborough County every week, Pinellas every week, and Jacksonville, I'm there every other week. And so actively seeing clients every day, still working hard, enjoying what I'm doing, and meeting people and helping people is very important to me. You have a toll-free number if you want to call the show. 877-943-9673. Hey, you can watch us live if you want to watch your radio show. You can watch on Facebook Live. And you can also watch we're streaming live on WeBeamTV.com. WeBeamTV.com. And if you go to that website, you can watch a show being streamed live, and they also have a number of other shows, previous shows of Ask an Attorney, and they have other great shows on that network. And they have a nerd show that's very entertaining. I think it's on Friday nights. So WeBeam TV, Facebook Live. If you have an iPhone, we have our own iPhone app. Ask an Attorney app. It's free. Download and host a number of our previous shows. If you'd like to call the show right now, I'd love to talk to you at 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. One of our attorneys in the office had a cousin die this week. It was a 57-year-old cousin. It might have been 47. And the cousin was a caregiver for her aunt. And her aunt, you know, was maybe in her 80s or so. I forget her exact age. But her caregiver, her son, 47 years old, had a massive heart attack and died. And I was talking to her about this. I called her on her radio show this morning. We chatted a little bit. So in this case, the caregiver had the power of attorney health care surrogate for his mother. And he was an only son, and he died. And we talked about how important it is to have somebody else lined up to fill that position. What if your caregiver, your son or daughter, died, and that was your only child? Who's the backup? Well, sometimes a grandchild, if they're old enough, responsible enough, have enough wisdom, can be it. But sometimes you need to pick someone else for that, too. Let's go to Michael in Tampa. Hey, Michael.
Good morning, Joe. Hi. I have a question in regards to... my sympathy, of course, goes out to that family. 57 is considered a child nowadays.
Yeah.
My question is, what provisions does the law have, if any, for malpractice when it comes to your little four-footed people?
Malpractice for what now?
What provisions does the law have for the malpractice or anything to do with our animals?
Oh, animals.
I hate to use that term anymore, but since the roles have actually switched, they act much more civilized than the people. So
no, if a veterinarian commits malpractice on an animal, there's liability there, of course, just like on a person. Mm-hmm. So you would
I was taking my little one to this vet, and they practically... they weren't doing anything and so forth, and he was just at the point of could barely even move. Took him to someone else. They immediately gave him a couple of tests and had him on his feet in a week. And it was just, you know, they by not treating him, first of all, they damaged, they've caused damage to his.
Well, if that didn't
hard for me to talk about, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, if that didn't do the normal standard care of an animal, and the animal was further injured or sick because of what the vet didn't do, they'd certainly have some liability there.
And this isn't a situation, excuse me, where they could ever say, "Well, you know, it was limited funds or whatever." This little one is my only child, and I've always had an open check. In other words, whatever needs to be, don't even. In fact, I've never even got a bill from them. I always they have my credit card on file, and they do with it as they please because that's the relationship I have. But it was just gross incompetence when I took him to the other person. They're like, yeah. "Wow, okay."
Well, you'd have to if you could get a letter from your current vet that you like about. What the what injury was caused, and if it was a permanent injury, and or what the cost was to fix with a treatment that was something that he did that wasn't right, you show it to an attorney. I'll get your attorney to maybe call and discuss it with.
Okay, who would that be?
No, I'll give it to you off the air. So give it to just send me an email or give me a call. I'll give out all that information here in a few minutes.
Okay, I'll call back then and speak to your board op.
Well, the board op might have my phone number. He'll write it down. I'll give it out in for you, and he'll just write it down if he doesn't have it handy. All right? So he'll put you on hold and give it to you maybe. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, if you'd like to contact our office, you have a toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. If you'd like to email me, it's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. If you'd like to text me, it's 727-667-3967. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. If you'd like to call the show again, it's 877-943-9673. And phone lines are open. So at what age do you think, I get this question a lot from parents who are concerned about their children not having their estate plan done. And a lot of times parents will pay for their child's estate planning. So at what level do you, at 20 years old or 20 to 25 years old, and the child is still living in home, what level of estate planning do they need? Well, you know, a lot of them could probably get by with just a will. I mean, they might have just a checking account and not much else, maybe a car and a checking account. There are ways you can title the checking account so that wouldn't go through probate, and automobiles don't go through probate. As the child gets a job and starts to acquire other assets, and maybe you have a grandchild, then a whole different picture develops. Because you want to, the child might have insurance, and the beneficiary might be their spouse and then a minor child. So you can't give money directly to a minor child, so you create a trust where a death benefit policy or retirement account goes into the trust for the benefit of the child to a certain age. So at what age do you do estate planning? Well, estate planning's important for everyone. And particularly as you have a minor child, it becomes extremely important to do it properly because you can't really make the minor child a beneficiary on insurance or retirement accounts. So if you're worried that your child doesn't have an adequate estate plan, hey, maybe give them a Christmas gift of giving them an estate plan. We do, this time of year, we do gift certificates for family members who want to help another family member do their estate plan. So it's something to think about. I posted a little thing on the internet the other day about somebody had posted the question, what is a unique Christmas gift? And I said, well, the gift of estate planning gives great peace of mind to someone who's put it off for a long time. So if you have a family member that puts it off, why not give them the gift of an estate plan? Something to think about. If you'd like to call the show, though, you have a toll-free number, 877 877- 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And our phone lines are open. So during the presentation Wednesday night at the church, a lot of things come up in a question and answer period that I always find interesting. We talked a little bit at the church about putting a statement of faith in your document. Now, what is a statement of faith? So a statement of faith is just three or four sentences you put in the opening part of a will. It says, I, in your name, being a sound mind, disposing member, hereby making my last will and testament. And if you say we're a Christian person and believing in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and you have a couple of other important things to you about your faith in the opening part of a will. So why would you want to do that? Well, the last thing your children may read that you wrote is your will. And losing someone is a very difficult thing to do. So, and if at the same time you're looking at their will, you have one last chance to remind them of your beliefs and your testimony. And that's going to be a flashback to them about who you were and what you believed in. And during this difficult time, it might make an impact on their life that might change their lives. So you can do really cool things in a will like that to help your family. Patrick Henry put in his will, at the end of his will, he had a little different way of doing it, but he put in his will, and we were talking about this, he put in my will, then now that I have a plan of disposing of all of my assets in my life that I've accumulated to my children, if that's all they receive, and they had not received the gift of Jesus Christ in their lifetime, then they have nothing. So there are a lot of little special touches you can put in your estate planning to have a meaningful impact on the lives of the people that you, in your family, that you love the most, and maybe that could also change their mind about things. Hey, if you have a question for me, phone lines are open right now. I'd love to talk to you. You have a toll-free number to call, and you have about a third of the way through the show, a little bit more than that. Toll-free number is 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. We had an interesting call this week. I got a call that from a daughter-in-law about her mother-in-law was in a hospital, and she had not properly funded her trust. So that meant that she had not gotten her credit union account and other bank accounts from her name. Let's just call her Sue Smith, from Sue Smith to Sue Smith trustee. So because of that, they were trying to use the power of attorney to get these things changed, the provisions in the power of attorney draft to give the person, was one of her sons actually, the power to change the accounts to the name of the trust to avoid probate. So I got this call on Tuesday. And Wednesday morning, I think the lady passed away. And the accounts never were put in the trust. So they were going to go, when they got the death certificate, to go to various places and make sure there wasn't a beneficiary on the accounts. But if not, the account's going to have to go through a probate proceeding. So the moral of the story is that you really need to, once you do a living trust, you need, if I were doing your trust for you, which I'd be glad to, I would transfer your real estate to the trust, and I would give you instructions on how to get your bank accounts in the trust. And if you didn't do that, then you're going to have some probate to deal with. And probate is an expensive, consuming, time-consuming process. If you'd like to call the show, 877 is the number, 877-943-9673, toll-free number. Doing a live show the Saturday morning before Thanksgiving. If you'd like to call us, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And we'd be more than glad to help you. One of my most common questions that I get is my out-of-state document good in the state of Florida? Well, the answer is it might very well be a valid document in the state of Florida. But the answer is it really needs to be reviewed There are some differences. The first line of the document of your will says you're a resident of another state, which now you're not. It's also important how it's witnessed and notarized, whether it's going to be valid in Florida. And if it's notarized properly, it's called what's self-proving. The language has to be just so for it to be self-proving, and that means you never have to find or locate the witnesses. So a lot of people do wills, come and have me review wills. They would work with a few extra steps and remind them the will would go through probate upon death based on their assets. And they have the choice now of updating that will with a codicil or doing a new will or maybe thinking about a living trust. Let's go to Zena in Tampa.
Hello?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I have a question. I'm a homeowner, and in 1984, my dad put a lien on my house because he put a roof on my house, and he put a $7,000 lien on it.
A lien, or you signed a mortgage?
Did I sign the mortgage?
Yeah, did you sign a mortgage, which is a lien, or did he just place a lien on it?
I believe I signed a mortgage.
Okay. Okay.
Now, he has passed away in 1994, and my question to you is, upon my passing, I'm leaving my home to two of my sons, half each. What would happen in a case like that? Would it cause any problems for them?
Well, you could give it to them, but it would still be subject to the mortgage. So eventually that mortgage is going to have to be satisfied. Did your father's estate go through probate?
I think so. That's a whole other story. I don't even want to go into that, but
well,
we did this, he never wanted me to even pay him the money. Mm-hmm. I never had to pay him. He just did that, you know, at the time.
Yeah.
I guess it was, you know, a thought that he had at the time. Yeah. But I never actually paid him. He never wanted any money from me. So I'm confused. I'm thinking about it. Upon my passing, is this going to create any havoc for my sons?
Well, I wouldn't say havoc, but the property they receive would still be subject to the mortgage unless the personal representative of your dad's estate satisfied the mortgage.
I don't even think that person was aware of it.
Was your dad's estate opened? I mean, did they open his estate and close it? Did you receive an inheritance at all from the estate?
No, I did not. I was supposed to, but like I said, there was a lot of corruption amongst us siblings, and I did not get what was stated in the will.
Well, we'd have to look on the county records to see if the mortgage was satisfied during the estate administration process. And it could be you didn't get anything because they just satisfied the mortgage.
No, I don't really think that was the case. But in the case it wasn't, what would happen, like, upon my passing and my sons inherit my house?
Yeah, they inherit it and they would receive it, but it would still be subject to the mortgage.
$7,000, right?
Well, plus interest. Well, to satisfy the mortgage, you'd have to reopen the estate and get the personal representative to satisfy the mortgage. Otherwise, the mortgage will always be a lien on the property.
But there's no personal representative.
There is one named in the will.
In my dad's will?
Yes. And if there's not one and the will is lost, then you could petition the court to open up the estate. But you're going to have to get the consent of the majority of the heirs to see who the personal representative is now going to be. And then that personal representative would have the right to satisfy the mortgage.
How would I know if this was even filed? How would I go about filing?
What county did your father die in?
94.
Call the probate clerk, and this was in Hillsborough County?
Yes.
Call the probate clerk in Hillsborough County, give them your father's name and date of death, and they can look on the records to see if a will was filed. They can also tell you if the will was submitted for probate. And then you'll know whether there's a will or not filed. And then if there's no will present now, you could proceed with getting the estate opened. And then you could work out a deal with the rest of the family to get the mortgage satisfied. All right, Zena, I hope that helps you. You can contact my office if you need further help.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. Phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. You want to call the show? We're halfway through. I'd love to talk to you. Love to try to point you in the right direction, give you whatever assistance I can at 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. So what do you do when we've had a cases where a person died, an estate was never opened, the estate is still in the name of a deceased person after many years, and certain family members have kind of taken over the property without ever doing a name change on the property. So what happens then? Well, the only way that you ever get the property name changed is through a probate process where you open the person's estate, even though many years ago they passed away, and you open the estate, you get a majority of the family members to have a personal representative appointed, and then the property is either distributed by whatever the will says, if you can find the will, or the will was filed, or by state statute. The state of Florida has a statute of what happens to property in a deceased person's name. And we've had cases to where the money was left in an account, a financial account. It could be a real estate or financial account. It could be left in a financial account. There was no activity in the account for 5 years or so. And then the account went to the state of Florida unclaimed property account. So then you have to open up an estate to be able to deal with the state of Florida to get the money. But there is a way to do all this. It's just takes a little bit of time and effort and have someone sit down and explain it to you. There are ways to get assets out of a deceased person's name, even though they died many years ago, and the account would be either still in their name somewhere in a local financial place, or it could be already sent to the state of Florida, where you can retrieve accounts from there. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney all about Florida law. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, 877-943-9673. So is there anything I can do for you? Give us a call. I had a young lady, titled herself as a probate specialist, but she had a real estate license. And she goes to a church where she became aware of me. And so she called and wanted to know if she could come in and do a video about attorneys and how real estate, how does real estate go through probate, basically. She wanted to do a question and answer session. So there's like 10 questions about real estate and probate. So we talked about questions about homestead and whether or not you can create a living trust and put your homestead in there, and whether you can put real estate from other states into a living trust. So I'll have a copy of this video within a week or so, and we're going to start posting that and maybe make it available. I'll have to check out the video and see how it looks, but maybe next week I can advise you all about that. Let's go to Sandra in St. Petersburg.
Yes.
Hey, Sandra.
Hi, I was just wondering, I was married just at 2 years, and I was wondering, as far as getting benefits from somebody in the military, how many years do you have to be married in the state of Florida?
Okay, how long ago was this?
This was 20 years ago.
Okay, I don't think 2 years is going to qualify, but did the person die in service? You get divorced, or what happened?
Divorce.
And there was a divorce court involved?
Yes.
Okay. And was there anything in writing about whatever you were entitled to get after the time?
Well, yeah, there was like, I didn't want anything really, but I just thought benefits and that were supposed to stay with me. I didn't realize that they weren't.
Well, no, if you agree to not get anything upon the divorce decree, then that's what you're not going to get anything.
Okay, it's like not that I agreed. We just had a house involved, and he got the house. So that was about.
There's a final divorce decree of what he of how the assets were split and what you were entitled to. So if you didn't stand up for yourself and try to get something, and wound up with nothing 20 years ago, then you're not going to be entitled to anything now.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.
Let's go to Jeanette in St. Augustine.
Oh, thank you. I have I recently moved to Florida from Virginia, and I want to do a new will, and I want to name a friend as an executor to the will.
Where's
Is
the
that legal in Ohio, in Florida?
Where's the friend live?
In Arlington, Virginia.
No, to be the personal representative of a will, you have to be a blood relative down the bloodline or a resident of Florida.
Okay. And then I also have a nephew in Ohio. And would he qualify?
Yes.
Okay. And is there a backup that I could use?
Well, the common backup would be, it could be, I don't know enough about you to really answer that question. Depends on the size of the state and what you're trying to do.
Okay.
But you could, I'd be glad to interview you and give you some recommendations. And we do have an office that doesn't charge anything for a first meeting to interview. And you ask me a bunch of questions. But the first of all, your will would go through probate in Florida. Are you single or married?
Single.
All right. So a will, you die with a will, then you die, your will's going to go through a probate process, which is fairly expensive and time-consuming. So you could do a living trust. The successor trustee of a trust could be anybody anywhere. So your friend could be a successor trustee of a trust, and then they would follow your instructions and distribute your assets according to your wishes. And your friend could fit that job as a successor trustee for you.
Okay, that sounds good then. Yeah, that's very good. What would be your closest location? I probably would do the trust then, because I really don't want my blood relatives to simply estate.
So after your call, I'll give out my my numbers.
Okay.
And we could interview you on the phone a little bit and send you some documents and then just work out the arrangement of where it's going to be signed. I've been down to St. Augustine. We have use of an office there. Sometimes I float through there and meet at that office. Sometimes I will meet you at your bank. Sometimes people from St. Augustine come up to Ponte Vedra, which is only is not a very long trip.
No, that wouldn't be a problem for
me. That's where I meet most of my clients in the Ponte Vedra area. So we'd work something out convenient for you.
Okay.
So if you want to, can you send me a text to call you?
No, I can email you.
Okay, email me at Joe, J-O-E.
Okay.
At A-T-T-Y.
Okay.
P-I-P. That's P's like Paul.
Okay.
.com. So Joe at A-T-T-Y-P-I-P.com.
Great. I'll do that.
You send me an email and send me your phone number. I could even talk to you today, this afternoon, if you want to be called today, or we can wait till Monday if you like, whatever you like.
Yeah, okay, sounds good. I'll have to talk to my friend.
All right,
okay.
Thank you. All right,
thank you. Bye.
All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. You have about 15 minutes left in the show. So if I can help you, maybe give you a little peace of mind, all you have to do is call the show, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. If you would like to receive our free estate planning poster sheet, it's a large double-sided sheet, 5 articles about estate planning, all the information you need about your options in estate planning, and there's a cost of probate chart, there's a little trust diagram chart, there's a estate planning information chart. All that's on one side. On the other side of the sheet has all of our office locations, phone numbers, attorneys, website information, radio show information. We have a service and fees button on there where you can go check out what we charge for various things. Bios about all the attorneys, and again, office locations. So if you'd like this, I'd love to send it to you. You have one of 3 ways that you could get it. There's a toll-free office number you could call anytime. If you call on the weekend, just leave a message. So that's 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me your name and address at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. You can text me your name and address at 727-667-3967. That's 727-667-3967. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The name of the show, Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a legal question, you have about 15 minutes left in the show to call. You have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, and be more than glad to try to help you get you pointed in the right direction. You know, Mark Twain said, you never know a person until you share an inheritance with them. And I find that so true sometimes in family situations. All kind of things happen in family situations where you can feel like you didn't get what you were entitled to. A couple of examples, which we call mistakes. Oh, by the way, we've got a blog going on now. We're starting a little series of blogging about the mistakes of rich and famous people. I think we've done three or four of these now. I think the last one that was coming out this week was the mistakes of Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson owned his ranch there in California, had a living trust, but never funded it. He never put his real estate into his trust. So guess what? There's going to be probate. Aretha Franklin, we did a story on her. She had a special needs child. She never did any special planning for the special needs child, which means there was plenty of money there, but the special needs child is going to lose government benefits. Now, in this particular case, that probably was okay. There's plenty of money to take care of the special needs child in a higher level of care than she would have gotten on government benefits. But in a lot of families, the level of care would be the same. And the child could lose that level of care, then run through a bunch of money all at once, and then not be able to get back into the facility where they are and lose their benefits, and their lifestyle would be a lot less. So anyway, if you'd like to contact us and become a member of our blog, or if you'd like to contact the office, the toll-free number is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. And love to get you signed up there. So if you'd like to call the show, we have 10 minutes or so left in the show. The toll-free number is 877-943-9673. Let's go to Bob in Jacksonville.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Bob.
Joe, I have a question about, and this pertains to a situation in Virginia, but I'm wondering if it would be a similar scenario in Florida where, and I've spoken with you a couple times about this situation over the last 6 months or so, but in the event where the commissioner of accounts that oversees the distribution and the accounting of an estate, in the event where it seems like some things aren't just right about how they're handling the situation, there have been numerous lengthy extensions granted for the first accounting of the estate by the executor, and they won't give a reason, and the estate is tiny. And it is also a definite fact that my sister, the executor, is close friends with the commissioner and mm-hmm. the people in his office. Well, my question is, in the event that I feel like it's not being handled properly, what body oversees the commissioner of accounts for the body that is in charge of will?
Well, I think the simple answer is you need an attorney to represent you and object to the extension and have them show cause as to why the extension was even granted. And at some point, petition for the estate to be closed, you know, with proper distributions. But I don't think you can do that yourself. I think you're spinning wheels unless you have an attorney do it for you in Virginia.
Yeah. But now, what would be like an oversight body, you know, in the court system that would oversee that office?
Well, the courts have a head judge. I'm not sure what the title is in Virginia. And then I think the attorney general, sooner or later, of that state could possibly have to work through the channels to get it up to that person.
Okay. All righty.
All right.
Well, Doug, once again, thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you. Incredible service for the community.
Thank you so much. Let's go to Paul in Bradenton.
Joe?
Yes.
My wife and I already have a living trust. And could you walk through how the trustees would claim the assets upon our death?
Well, the successor trustee that you've nominated in your document upon your death would get your death certificate, take it to the various places you have financial accounts. They would sign probably an acceptance of trustee, and they would get a new tax number for the trust because the trust would be a different entity upon death as it is now when you're living. So their job basically is to collect the assets, pay the bills, and then eventually make a final distribution. If there's real estate in the trust, if the deed is recorded, they could do a new deed almost right away to a new buyer or transfer it to a family member upon some agreement of the heirs. If the deed hasn't been recorded but is still with the will and trust package, the deed would be recorded, the will would be filed, and then the successor trustee would be in position to transfer or sell the property. So we give our clients if your successor trustee came into my office, I would give them a list of instructions, follow what's called a trust notice. The whole meeting could probably take about a half an hour. And most can leave and do most of it themselves. That's the beauty of a trust. You avoid attorney fees and delays and cost with a trust. Some that might need a little hand-holding and help, they can just retain us to do whatever they want us to do because they can't do it for whatever reason.
So if the assets were already, the trust was named, that they could just use the trust and go to the institution?
Yeah, they take the trust to the institution with a death certificate.
Yeah.
And they would have had an acceptance of trustee document maybe prepared by the attorney that created the trust and with some instructions on how to go in and become the trustee of the account. It's all pretty straightforward.
Okay, I guess that satisfies me.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to David in St. Augustine.
Hey, good morning, Joe. Just a quick question about annuities.
Mm-hmm.
Are they exempt or excluded from asset capture insofar as lawsuits are concerned?
Yeah, insurance and annuity products are under Florida Statute 2222 as protected. There's also some asset protection in homestead, Social Security benefits, IRAs, retirement accounts, and insurance and annuity products are all under the umbrella of Florida Statute 222 as far as asset protection goes.
Perfect. That's a simple answer. Last quick question. How does an ordinary guy go up against an estate planning attorney who's has unlimited resources when it comes to
If you got a good case, you just get a good estate planning litigation attorney to represent you.
Okay.
And a good estate planning litigation attorney would recognize if you had a good case or not and maybe could work for you on a contingency basis if you don't have funds to support that. Most of the litigation attorneys are not going to take a case unless there's a high probability of them winning the case. So if you go in and present your facts and you have a great case, I'm sure you could find an attorney to take the case. And I have one in mind in the Jacksonville area that doesn't work for me, but I think would be good at a job like that, and I could refer to you.
Okay. I'll call your office then Monday?
Yeah, it'd be great.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
You too. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We have about 5 minutes left. You still have time to call the show at 877-943-9673. 9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Jack in St. Petersburg.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey.
You updated my trust in 2015.
Okay.
And have a question relative to our home and plan to possibly move into a continuous living facility.
Okay.
Our home is in joint names, not in the trust. My wife doesn't have a trust. She has all her assets with Merrill Lynch.
Okay.
And I have a trust, but we're selling our home and debating whether we buy a condo, downsize, or then, as I say, to a living facility.
Okay.
How should that be titled, given this situation? We've been married 27 years, but have separate families before that.
All right, so you want the house, the new property you buy, you want that, because it's going to be in joint names with Rider Survivorship?
I think so, yes. Now, does it stay in at trust with the right of survivorship?
Well, you have a joint trust.
What? I only have the trust.
Oh, you have a single trust.
Yes.
Well, and if you have nothing, if you don't have a joint trust and want to own the property jointly, you could create a trust just for the home to put that in. So you could have a trust, wife could have a trust, you could have another trust just for the home. And then the distribution of that upon the second death would be 50-50 to each side of the family, or whatever you want, but that would be a choice.
Or it goes to whoever outlasts the other.
It could, but initially you could put it in a trust with the plan that it'd be 50-50 to the two sides, but as you know, the survivor could change it, just like joint ownership.
Okay.
That's just another choice for you. You could have like a post-marital agreement if it's homestead and each own half, and half could go into each trust. That would be another choice.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yes. It's, well, currently it's homestead. I don't know. Can you, continuous living facility, that would not be, I would have residual rights, or we would have residual rights to 90%.
Well, that residual rights could be 50% to each of your trusts, perhaps.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure there's a way to do this, so.
Yeah, a little complex.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. All right, so we're almost at the end of the show. If you'd like to contact our office, we have a toll-free number, 1-800. No matter where you're listening, we have all places that we got calls today, we have offices close by. So we have several offices in Pinellas, several in Hillsboro, several in Polk, Claremont, Leesburg, the Villages. We have offices in Sarasota, Manatee area. We have offices in Trinity, Pasco, Zephyr Hills. Offices over on the East Coast from up from Daytona to Jacksonburg. So no matter where you're listening to the show, we probably have offices close to you. If you'd like our poster sheet with a list of all our offices and something about estate planning, we'd be glad to send that to you. You can contact our office one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800. 226-3529, 1-800-226-3529, extension 200. If you want to email me, it's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Our website is simply ATTY, abbreviation for attorney, ATTYPIP.com. P-I-P is P like Paul, I-P like Paul. If you want to text me your name and address to for contact information or to get the poster sheet, the cell text number is 727-667-3967. 727-667-3967. If you want to watch a video broadcast of this show, it'll be on WeBeam TV, a great little network, I shouldn't say little, a great network of a lot of a variety of different shows. And Ask an Attorney is one of them that you can go to onto the site and watch multiple shows. Want to call the office again, 1-800-226-3529. Wishing everyone a great, great Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for you as an audience, thankful for all of my family, staff, and employees, and wishing everyone a great, great Thanksgiving. So long.